Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank God for another opportunity to bring forth a word from the Word of God. I want to thank all of you that are on the call this afternoon for your being present to hear another portion of God's Word. I want to thank all the brothers thus far who have participated in this service. Again, those that offer prayers, the singing, and also the scripture reading on this afternoon. I want to share with you again, those that are not members of the Lord's Church, want to thank you for your presence this afternoon, being invited possibly by someone to hear the Word of God. And secondly, want to thank those that are Christians that may be visiting with us on this conference call. You may not worship at the Highland Heights congregation where Brother Brooks and I serve, but we're thankful for your presence. And then for those that labor with us at Highland Heights, we want to thank you for your presence this afternoon. I want to do some foundational thing or two before I get into my message, and I'll just for the sake of clarity. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5, I want to share something as it relates to myself, Brother Brooks, and then also share something as it relates to you, those that are Christians, so you'll see collaboration between myself and Brother Brooks. Collaborating means to work with another person in order to achieve our goal. So when Paul wrote the letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5, he says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man?" So Brother Brooks and I are simply servants of the Lord, and that you believe that which we preach. Paul said, "I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that giveth the increase." And then he says in verse number 9, "For we are laborers together with God." Paul said to the church, "You are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building." So Brother Brooks and I are laborers together. We collaborate on our preaching. And so I wanted to share for the congregation, Brother Brooks is doing the book of Acts in his study. Excellent message this morning. Jesus of Nazareth, Acts chapter 2. And the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It is also the book of that many call the book of conversion. It converts those to become Christians. And so what we are doing now is collaborating. And so I will start a series this afternoon that one thing is to convert people to Christianity. Now we have to teach those how to live as Christians. And so me and Brother Brooks will collaborate on the sense of understanding what the role of the church is, and the responsibility also that Brother Brooks and I have as ministers at Highland Heights. And then the second scripture, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and the verses number 12, and then I'll get into my message on this afternoon. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, and so there may be some that are not familiar with why God gave those to the church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists. Me and Brother Brooks are evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. And note what he gave them for. Threefold. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So one purpose of the church is to perfect the saints, or equipping the Christian with the things he or she needs to be a Christian. Secondly, it says, for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry, ministry simply means to serve. So we all should be serving. One of the roles Brother Brooks and I have is that of preaching. But we all have to serve in the ministry, serve in the church. And then the third part is for the edifying or the building up of the church. And one of the ways we build the church is through edification or through evangelism. So Brother Brooks is focusing in his series on evangelizing the church. I will take the responsibility of equipping the saints or perfecting the saints with the things that they need, so we're working together. And so when you hear the sermon from Acts, and then where I would start from, if you'll meet me in 1 Peter chapter number 1, is where I would do what is referred to as, we're both doing what is referred to as expository preaching. And expository simply means to explain something. So what we're doing is we are explaining from the text, the Word of God, by giving examples and scripture to show that which what we are teaching. And so the scripture text for this afternoon, Brother Brooks, thank him for reading 2 Timothy 2:15. For however, on this afternoon, the scripture text is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4, where Peter wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And that's my title on this afternoon. Reserved in heaven for you. I want us to see from the text that I'll begin this afternoon, or from the letter from the apostle. This letter is written to Christians. Now, if you're on the call and you're not a Christian, I will share at the close of my message how one becomes a Christian. But I want you to know that this afternoon, my target audience are those that are Christians, that Peter, had written a letter whose purpose, notice threefold, the letter. One, it is to strengthen your faith as a Christian. Secondly, it is to give confidence in your life. We all need to have confidence in this life in which we're living. And then thirdly, as we move through the letter, you'll find that Peter was trying to comfort those that may be suffering as a Christian. So again, I'm speaking this afternoon to those that are Christian, that we understand and are able to deal with the things that we do and how our faith needs to be strengthened. You need to have confidence in the life you're living. And also, if you're going through stuff and you're suffering, that this letter will comfort you. So we'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 1, and the verse is number 1. Again, thank you for being with us this afternoon. The Bible says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So Peter says that I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Brother Brooks shared with us, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse number 21. Brother Brooks shared with this in his teaching in Acts chapter 1, that I want us to see the word apostle means one sent by the Lord Jesus. But there were qualifications for those that were sent by Jesus. In Acts 1, 21 and 22, the Bible says, wherefore, of these men which have company with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. It says, beginning from the baptism of John, when Jesus was baptized by John, until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So the qualification for an apostle had to be, he had to be there when Jesus was baptized by John, and he had to also be there when Jesus went back up. He said the same day he was taken up. So those were the qualifications for one that was an apostle, one that would be sent for by Jesus. He had to be with Jesus when Jesus went in and out among them. And then the Bible says in verse number 26, and they gave therefore their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles, and that made 12. So again, when Peter says he was an apostle one that was sent forth by the Lord, that had been with the Lord, saw Jesus get baptized by John the Baptist. He also was there when Jesus was taken up, as Brother Brooks talked so well in Acts chapter 1. But Peter says, going back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, that I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, and this letter that I'm writing are to those Christians that were strangers that had been scattered throughout Asia Minor in the areas that he identified. So these are Christians who were dispersed, scattered in different directions, staying in places that they had traveled to. They were strangers in those places. And so Peter wrote this letter to them. And he said to them, verse number 2, he said, they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So now, what does the elect mean? The elect means those that are chosen of God. And you are chosen of God when you obey God. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let us reconfirm those that are Christians, how you became a Christian. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the verse is number 13, where Paul wrote to Thessalonica. He said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, notice now, chosen you. That's what the word means. Chosen you to what? Salvation. Through, notice now, the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You have been separated by the Spirit of God. And because you believe the truth, he said, whereunto he called you. God called you. You were invited by our gospel. The gospel invited you to become a Christian. And then Paul told them to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you are elect, you are chosen of God. That you are one that because of your obedience to the word of God, God has chosen you to salvation by Paul said, through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. But I want to say now, as we begin to open this, not only are you elect to be chosen by God, but God has also asked you to put on some stuff. Look in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 12. I want to share with those that are Christians, God gave you some spiritual clothing that we are all to wear or to put on. Notice what Paul said to the church in Colossae. He says, verse number 12 of Colossians 3 and 12, now we're talking about Christianity. He said, put on therefore, as, notice now, the elect are chosen of God to be holy and beloved. First, Paul said, put on the bowels of mercy. As a Christian, we have to learn to have compassion for other folks. He says, kindness being nice, polite, helpful to other people. He says, a humbleness of mind. We have to have a low opinion of ourselves, that we don't allow our ego to become all-consuming in our walk with the Lord. Then Paul says, meekness. Meekness is having to undergo wrong, or allowing someone to be wrong you if it'll make that person better. Sometimes people may not treat us right, but my spirit is one that I'm able to allow people to do me wrong for their betterment. Then he says, long suffering. I'm enduring. That means one that endures adversity. You know, as a Christian, you have to learn how to endure stuff. And then he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any. Notice he says, so forbearing one another is sometimes we take stuff in order to promote a positive outcome. In relationships, husband and wife, sometimes one of you have to learn how to forbear the other person for the betterment of the relationship. You have to learn as a Christian, you have to put on Christian clothing. These are the garments that God said as the elect of God, put on these things, forbearing one another. Notice he says, forgiving one another. You know, sometimes some of us in the church won't let a person go because they wrong you. Well, as Jesus said, we talked about in our study on Wednesday night in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, and forgive us our debt as we forget, that's Matthew 6 and 12, as we forget our debtors. What the Lord is saying in Colossians 3:13, we have to learn how to forgive people and release them of the debt willingly. Man, you don't owe me nothing. Yeah, Brother Scott, I did you wrong. No, you don't owe me nothing. Why don't you owe me something? He said, even as Christ, because Christ has forgave me, so also do ye. I forgive you because God forgave me. Christ forgave me. And so, as a Christian, we have to learn how to put on spiritual clothing that we can be what God wants you. How do we win folk over? We win folk over when we are the chosen of God, wearing spiritual clothing, that we can be what God would have us to be, that we can win over that person. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Notice he said, if any man have a quarrel against another person, what do I do? Don't quarrel with him, even as Christ forgave you. So also do ye. So as we're talking now, we're talking about Christianity and being a Christian. Back in Peter. Peter says, not only are you are separated by the Spirit of God, he says, unto obedience. and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Well, in order to become a Christian, we had to render obedience and come in contact with the blood of Christ. But they understood. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 13, and let me show where Paul was saying to them about the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. What does that mean? In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 13, notice what the Hebrew writer said. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, notice now, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. In other words, if they took blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, and they sprinkled it on the unclean, now the unclean now is sanctified, and now is purifying the flesh. Notice what he says in verse number 14. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, when you are baptized in water, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, notice what he did. He purged your conscience from those dead works to the serving the Lord God. So what Peter was reminding them is, one, it's the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. But in this case, that blood is the blood that we came in contact with when we were baptized. We first had to show obedience to the gospel. Then we were water baptized. And in that baptism by faith, the blood, the Hebrew writer said, how much more shall the blood of Christ clean your conscience? That's why when a person is baptized, everything he did, his conscience can be clear. I may have murdered someone before I obeyed the Lord, but now my conscience can be clear from the dead word. Not that I'm not one that is ever mindful of the wrong I've done. Well, Paul, the Hebrew writer, said, but now your conscience is purged or cleansed. Why? Now I don't have to hold that on my shoulders anymore. Now I can serve the living God. And so what do I do now that I'm a Christian and I sin? In 1 John chapter 1, that's when I obey the Lord. I come in contact with the blood. But also now that I'm a Christian, 1 John 1:7. John wrote, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now that I'm a Christian, I was still sin. Because I have a relationship with the Lord, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse me from all my sins. What do I need to do? Verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. However, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a lie and his word is not in us. So Peter, in his writing to the Christians, in 1 Peter, went back and began the letter by first reminding them of who he was, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And secondly, he reminded them that they were chosen of God, how they became chosen through obedience and the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Peter says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And the word grace simply means favor from God. God has done for us in our lives. And so now I'm asking for, Peter says, I'm asking God to show you some favor, some kindness, and then have peace. And we all need peace in our lives, where peace being free from irritation. Life ain't irritating me no more. I'm able to deal with things. And Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied. And then he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Peter tells them, blessed be to God. And the word blessed in this text means to express thanks or praise to God. Yeah, this is one of the reasons why we sing and worship. Notice in Hebrews 13 and 15, how do we bless God? Well, the Hebrew writer shares with us how that is done. How do we praise God? Hebrews 13, 15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And so when we assemble, thank Brother Hill this afternoon for those leading us in those hymns are to give praise to God, to give thanks to our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, who according to his abundant, a much mercy, God has shown sympathy to us in the fact that he gave, Brother Brooks shared this on this morning, his mercy was shown in the sense that he gave his only begotten son that we might be begotten also. Again, the word lively means a living hope. Now we have a hope. We have a living hope. Why? It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see that in Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead, that shows us that God has shown us some mercy. God has shown us some mercy. And then Brother Brooks shared this morning, let's go back there so we can see it again in Acts chapter 2, a text that was used this morning. The Acts chapter 2, and I want you to see in Acts 2:31. The Bible says, he's seen this before. Think of the resurrection of Christ. And resurrection simply means rising up of Christ. That his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God, notice now, raised up. Wherefore, Peter told them, we are all witnesses. So our hope is based on the fact that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. Why? Because we can read it in the scriptures. And that's why me and Brother Brooks, we preach things that you are to believe. Why? Because we're showing it in the scriptures. And so Peter shared with them you are to thank God and to praise God for what God has done. God have shown mercy to all of us. The fact that you live long enough to obey the gospel is enough that you ought to thank God for, that you have the hope of going to heaven. And then he says in verse number 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, and it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away. And then that's my title now, it's reserved in heaven for you. Peter wanted them to know that you got something, a possession that you're going to have in the future as a Christian. Peter called it inheritance. Now, this inheritance, it is incorruptible, meaning it cannot decay, incapable of decaying. He said it is undefiled. Yeah. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Show you when God says about Christ, what does undefiled mean as it relates to Christ and not us? It says in Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, meaning Christ is free from contamination. He is pure. Why? Because he separated from sinners, and he's made higher than to heaven. So when Peter told them that this inheritance is undefiled, you don't have to worry about nobody, no sinner, messing this up. It is separated from those that are sinners on earth. It is holy, it is harmless, it is undefiled. And then Peter said, it fadeth not away. In other words, what Peter says is that this inheritance is perpetual. It will continue forever. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, where we can see what Paul wrote when he talked about something that is perpetual. He said in his second letter to Corinthians in 5 and verse number 1, Paul said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if we die, we have a building of God and house made without hands, and it's eternal in the heaven. And that's where I get my title from. Peter wanted them to understand that God has something for you that's reserved in heaven. It can't be corrupted, it can't be defiled, and it ain't going nowhere. That's why I can live this life. You know, we sang this morning, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help us, some other, to win. We got to win this thing called life through the Word of God. Then Peter says, as I move to a close on this lesson, that's reserved in heaven for you, this inheritance. Peter says, who are kept by the power of God. Notice now, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So Peter let them know that this inheritance is kept by the power of God. Now, you need to understand that the power of God is not only all-knowing. Let me show you that. In verse number 2, the Bible says, the elect according to the foreknowledge. That foreknowledge means to know beforehand. That has to do with God being omniscient, or knowing everything. God already knows who's going to obey Christ and obey the gospel and become a Christian. That is the omniscience of God. God is all-knowing. There's nothing God don't know. But then in verse number 5, when it talks about the power of God can be seen in verse number 3, and the power of God is God being omnipotent. God is all-powerful. God, there is nothing. God can do anything. God's power is unlimited. How do you know it's unlimited? It's unlimited because in verse number 3, the Bible says, we have hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Only somebody with unlimited power can raise somebody from the dead. Peter wanted them to understand that this God who you bless, the Father of Jesus Christ, not only is he all-knowing, but he is also all-powerful. There is nothing God can't do. And so I'm saying to us that are Christians, no matter what you are going through in your life, if God can raise his son from the dead, he can deal, and I'll talk about that next Sunday, how God deals with the problems that we have in our lives. As I said beforehand, this letter is designed to strengthen your faith, to give you confidence in this life, and also if you're suffering, to comfort you your suffering. And so I want to close, as I would do in this letter, just go right to the text in 1 Peter 3:18. If you're on the call, I'll close the curtain on Christianity at this point. Now I want to share, as Brother Brooks is doing in his series of messages, how also on our gospel call that we have Monday through Friday, we want you to invite guests on the nationwide gospel call, because all the messages are designed to do what I'm about to share right now that Peter shared in his letter. And also, when you talk about those saints being edified or being perfected, as I said in Ephesians 4:12, how do you perfect the saints? The saints are perfected when they are equipped, are given tools to work with in the life as a Christian. And we have our conference call on Monday morning. On Tuesday, we have Bible class on Wednesday night. We have our gospel call on Thursday, our Friday call. Those calls are designed to equip the saints. And so I want to encourage you that in order for you to grow, you have to be equipped. You got to get tools. And God has given those evangelists, those ministers, have allowed them to study the Word of God so they can equip you. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, if you're not a Christian, how does one become a Christian? Peter said, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by Spirit." Peter reminded them that at one time you were not a Christian, and at that time Christ suffered for your sins. Christ is the just, and he died for us the unjust. And the reason that Jesus died was that he might bring us to God. How did he do that? Being put to death in the flesh. However, he was made alive again by the Spirit of God. And so he says, verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient. And if you're out there this afternoon and you haven't obeyed the Lord, you have been, and I'm saying this politely, been disobedient. Peter says, when once the long-suffering God has been putting up with you and been long-suffering or suffering long with you, as God did in the days of Noah, he says, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. You need to understand that you are saved. Water is part of you being saved. But it's the blood of Christ, as I said already in verse chapter number 1. It is the blood, the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, of blood, Christ's blood in the water. He said, the light figure. What figure? The light figure being water. Whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us. Yeah, you have a type and you have an antitype. That's the light figure. Even baptism in water, along with the blood of Christ, is what saves us. And Peter said, is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of a good conscience toward God. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as I close this afternoon on this text, if you are not a Christian now, you become a Christian, but I just share with you the gospel. Three facts. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again. God raised him up the third day. That is the gospel shared with you. You have to believe that. You have to repent of your sins and not be disobedient to God, but turn to God. And then you must make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, according to the scriptures in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, what the eunuch said prior to him being baptized. He stated what he believed. He confessed what he believed. And then he was water baptized in water for the forgiveness of his sins. And so you are there today, and you are at that place where you haven't obeyed the Lord. You, all those blessings that I've spoken about are only for those that are Christians. And until you become a Christian, those blessings are not yours until you render obedience unto God. And then thank God for what he has done in your life by giving Christ. There's someone today that would like to respond to the message. Get with the person that invited you on the call. Give us a call. Reach out to myself or Brother Brooks, and we'll make arrangements for you to be water baptized for the remission of your sins. Because life, you have to be born again. A life done, all that I've spoken about today, something being reserved in heaven, is not reserved for you until you obey God. I thank you this afternoon. Thank you very much.